Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she looked at dozens of houses before finding the one she would eventually buy. The strange part wasn't that it felt like home, it was that it felt like she'd already lived there.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
It is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online, if you'd like to share your real ghost stories with us, be sure to press subscribe wherever you're watching or listening us. We do greatly appreciate that. And give us your thoughts on the ghost stories in the comment section on YouTube. Hi, everyone. How's everyone doing?
Hi, Tony. Hi.
And how are we doing on this delicious dish?
On this delicious dish?
On this delicious dish, yeah.
I don't know. Todd, how's your delicious dish?
Well, I told Tony I would tell him this story. I did tell this last week, but I wanted to tell Tony about this. Your mom and I really got along well at the wedding.
Yeah.
She scolded me on two things.
Okay.
She scolded me about that she called every day to the radio station to check up on you. And I said, no, I realize you didn't call every day. It was like maybe once a week or whatever. I said, but you have to understand in my world and in Tony's world, that becomes she called every day, right? I mean, it's part of the dramatization of the whole thing. And then she said,
I think she really did call every day though.
And then there was a wedding that I DJ'd at and they were at or something.
Okay.
Which of course I don't remember.
Yeah.
And she said, and then you went and told Tony I was drunk and I wasn't drunk.
What?
And I said, yeah, I don't remember what it was. But I just, again, Peggy, I don't remember that. I said, but whether you were drinking ginger ale or water, I was going to tell Tony that you were drunk and that would become the story. Like sometimes I said, radio isn't always about like that kind of radio wasn't always about truth.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it was taking it and then creating something else out of it. So I apologize and everything was fine. We danced while you sang Whitney Houston at the wedding. So everything was fine after that, but I got scolded on two stories from over the years. So Peggy, I'm sorry. There you go.
I had no recollection of the being
me either.
Like
me
at
either.
All.
She could have just pulled shit out of her ass and made something up, and I would have apologized for it. But she's been hanging on to it for a long time.
30 years.
But it was so good to see your mom and dad. I have not seen them in a long time.
Yeah,
and it was just awesome.
Yeah. No, it was. It was.
I really enjoyed them at the wedding.
Yes.
They're fun.
Yep.
They were super happy. And it was just, it was really nice.
Yeah, it was a good time. And it was great to have everybody together. But wow, that's a new one. I have no recollection of that story.
Because then she was telling a story about like, because you were young when you started in radio.
Yeah.
And she would wait for you in the parking lot. And she's like, we kind of wait for, like, kind of spy. Like, she, and it, even though, she would kind of wait for you outside.
There was another complaint that I was letting you drink, and I never remember letting you drink.
You never let me drink.
Yeah. But she's like, and he'd be drinking. And I didn't like that. And I said, but I didn't do that. Like,
you weren't
I wasn't
even there.
No, I don't think so.
No, you weren't there. You were already left because I was pretty young. And so, that was when I was like more towards, I mean, the end of high school. So it was like 4 years after you left.
I think all the shit you did to her after I left somehow came back to haunt me in her mind. You know? Like she equated me with all that stuff.
What I've noticed is that they don't have much of a timeline. Like the whole timeline is just kind of gray in terms like it's all like on anything we talk about. It's like you were never at that restaurant, and I'll describe. Describe it like from childhood or something. And I mean, how do you know that? Because I was there. You were never there. You know, it's like, so I don't know. I mean,
God, it was such a good time, and it was so good to see them.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think I'm getting that way too with time as well. You know,
it happens as you get older. And Carol, you'll agree with this.
Because you know, I'm old. The memories.
Well, we all are, right? you forget a lot of stuff, and then what you used to be able to place perfectly into sequential order in your life.
Yeah.
Now you struggle doing that because there's more years, there's more events, all that, and it's tough. Yeah.
And sometimes like. It's weird too, because some people you've known for a really long time, it's like they'll say something happened to them and you're like, I think that happened to me.
Yeah.
Like, is that their story or my story?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like a folder, like a computer folder with information. You know, when you just have a few items in it, you don't have to necessarily have it sorted by date or type or anything. Right. It's just there. But eventually you get so many things in there. And well, here's what's there. And I think that's down over here or could it be over there? And unless you're like going to like sort it in a certain way, you're just kind of like looking through how it's dropped in the folder. And I think that's our brains. That's life. You know, as more information goes into the folder, the more difficult it is to recall exactly where in the folder it is.
But there are some people who are amazing.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, okay, so, and Tony, you're good about remembering stuff, actually. But there's some people who will be like, so in 1998,
in November of 98. Yeah.
And we did this event. And I'm like, how do you remember when it was? And
I don't know. I'm better at that from like way younger. Like I wouldn't say I'm that great. I mean, I think the last 20 years are kind of a blur. And, you know, sometimes in terms of placing specific, you know, non-eventful things. But I think when you're younger, everything is eventful, you know? So so if, you know, everything's newer, everything's more eventful, so it's going to make a bigger impact. And once you've done the same thing 50 times, that first time is still the one they're going to remember more than, you know,
and at my 38. Age, I have done so much shit.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot in there. Yeah. And it's like, I did that. Okay. I did that. All right.
That's why I'm being a hermit now. I'm rarely leaving the house. So every time I leave, it's an event. It's like, go to Kohl's. Woo. You know, it's like, it's exciting again or something. So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a phone call and hear a ghost story.
This is Jackie from Wisconsin again. When we were looking for houses, I am pretty sensitive to things. We probably looked at 30 different houses. I must have drove our realtor absolutely batty, driving him all over the countryside looking for houses. There was one house that we went into. We walked in, it was a nice little town. We walked into the house, big, beautiful kitchen that most people would just absolutely love. And I didn't see, but I got a really distinct feeling of somebody dead laying on the floor in the kitchen. And I'm just like, I grabbed my husband's hand and I said, I really don't want to look at the rest of the house. He doesn't feel anything, but he knows how sensitive I am. And he's like, let's just, you know, he drove all the way out here. Let's just walk through. And, you know, we walked through the house and I just had the most oppressive feeling in that house. It was just crazy. We didn't buy that house and we looked at several others. The house that we ended up buying wasn't anywhere in the area that we were looking for. It kind of came to us after a really bad sickness with my then 15-month-old, and he had gotten so sick that they wouldn't move him into ICU. And we were in the hospital for like 4 or 5 days, and we had a bid on a house, an offer on a house. And I believe it was that house that had actually gotten him so sick. So I think there was mold in the basement, and he was really sensitive to it. Anyway, we pulled that offer. As soon as I got home, I went online and did a for sale by owner, which is one of the ways I was searching for houses. And a different search had come up that I didn't usually use, and it listed all the homes in Wisconsin, not just where you had to put in like your certain city. And I was just thumbing through. I was so beat. I was so worn out from this whole ordeal with my son. And I was, you know, just, you know, kind of looking at the pictures. And then all of a sudden I see this little tiny thumbnail of this house. And I look at it and I said, oh my God, it's our house. And I, like, you know, it's probably like, you know, 3 miles away from, or 3 hours away from work or something, you know. But I looked at it. It was actually within driving distance to both of our work. Like I said, it wasn't where we were looking, but it was exactly in our price range. We came down, we saw it. I immediately felt like I knew the house. I knew the area. I knew what was our property and what wasn't. And it's a really strange property line. And the guy had just listed the house. He had told us, you know, if we didn't show up, that he was going to pull it off the market because he couldn't find anything. But since we showed up and we had a family, he thought the house deserved a family. And we moved in, and the first night that we spent in the house, I was laying down, kind of relaxing, and I heard kind of in my head, kind of all around me, welcome home, welcome back. And immediately I felt like I had, in a past life or something, been in this house. I know so many weird things about this house that I really shouldn't know. It's kind of weird. We've got neighbors that have lived there for, 40, 50 years that, you know, used to play in the house when they were kids that, you know, would tell me things. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, I knew that. I feel so comfortable in this house. And I know that there's a spirit living here that's happy to have us. Before I finally looked on Zillow, and the house had been through so, had been turned over so many times in, you know, the past like 30 years, you know, like every couple of years there was somebody new in the house, which really, to me, kind of indicates that there was a really fairly bad haunting. But whoever's here haunting the place really loves us. Have a great day. Bye.
Thanks for sharing that story.
Interesting. That is interesting to me. Like, she knew as soon as she saw the listing, that's her house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then she knew things about the house. I'm going to assume by that, like the different rooms and, you know, feelings about it. That's really interesting to me.
You ever had that where you go into a place and it, you just feel like you've been there before, even though you know you haven't?
Mm-hmm. I have had that happen to me before.
Yeah.
Where it's, when did it happen to you? Gosh. Well, this house.
This house?
The one I live in.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because I've talked about that a lot. I just walked in and I knew this is the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you knew it was the house, but yeah. Did you feel like you knew anything about it?
No, I wouldn't say like I had the feelings that she had. I knew I would buy the house the minute within the minute I walked in. I took 3 steps into the house and I was like, I knew it was the one. It was the first house I looked at ever to buy, ever, ever. It wasn't like I'd bought a house before. I just knew this is the one. And I pulled up in the driveway and I didn't feel like that. I was like, it's kind of little. And then I walked in. I'm like, no, this is it. It was a very weird feeling. But I have been to places, and I'm trying to think of a place specifically where it's like, it just felt super familiar to me. But never, I don't think ever to that extent. Yeah. Like, that was an extreme extent. She saw the house and bought the house, and like she was meant to live there. Mm-hmm. But not just meant to live there. That's how I feel. It was like back home almost to her.
Yeah. Right.
That's interesting.
Have you had that happen, Tony?
I wouldn't, not in a specific building. You know, there's certain areas in places I've been where it just never felt like home. and then areas where it just does and it feels good. Like I like geographically, I feel at home here where I live now. And right. I really haven't felt that mm-hmm. anywhere, I think, since like Wisconsin. So all those years later. I felt pretty good. Michigan felt kind of like home too. But it's not everywhere. As far as the actual building, no. I mean, I've had, you know, feel familiar. What a weird one I have, and this is just all in my head, but I have dreams all the time where I'm in locations, and I must visit these places in my dreams semi-frequently because I'll have memories there. Like in the dream, I'll have a memory of being in this location, and I'm reflecting back on it in the dream. And I find fascinating because it's like, oh, these are places I must visit, and you kind of recognize it for the moment and then you pop out of the dream. So that's kind of an interesting phenomena of the places that are in my head. But the location, physically, I can't say I have.
Yeah. I've not like that. I've walked someplace or been someplace and like, oh, I kind of feel like maybe the energy here, maybe this happened or that happened or whatever, or you can kind of imagine what life was like back then or whatever.
Yeah.
But ever actually walking in and going, I've been here before. Yeah. I've never done that.
I don't think I have. And the few times I think I have, I've been able to identify when I was there before. Even if I didn't think I was, it would be like, I have been in here before. Like it was this or something. And it's like in some obscure location. And it's like usually in childhood or something. I'd like, oh yeah, I remember that. But I don't know how this is going to sound. We're going to take a look at it. This is kind of riffing off of the concept there. This is a promo for a 1990s sitcom. About a house that takes you back in time. It's called History's Hell House. Let's take a listen.
From the creators of your favorite family comedies comes a show that's a blast from the past. Literally! Meet the Thompson family. They just moved into their dream home, but this house has a hilarious habit of sending them back in time. Watch Dad land in the middle of the Black Plague. Honey, I think I caught something. The bodies are piling up in the street, and our kids are next. Mom gets sent to the Salem witch trials. This is not how I wanted to spend my spa day. They're lighting the pyre and the crowd is cheering.
So it's supposed to be like clips.
Little Timmy finds himself at the Titanic. Iceberg? More like Niceberg. Wait, why are all these people screaming and jumping into the freezing water? But no matter how many horrific...
I wasn't impressed. I wanted it to be, so it didn't pull the commands very well. The idea was, you know, clips, you know, like here's the announcer, here's the clip, and it would be the voice of that. If I had time to sit there and play around with it, I'm sure I could get it to do it. But the concept would be a television show where the house takes you back in time to the worst moments in history.
History's the Black Plague was pretty obvious. Yeah. When Dad goes back to the Black Plague. Gee, Dad, you know, what was it like?
Yeah, yeah. So
it's don't bring that back with you, Dad.
Yeah, like I bought you back a souvenir, Timmy.
Dad, I didn't want to get the Black Plague.
Oh, shoot. Oops.
And then Urkel comes out and goes, yeah. Did I do that? And then, yeah.
Then he dies.
Yes, you did.
Just like falls right over, you know. Like leprosy goes wild. Yeah, people's arms are falling. It's, yeah. You know, this Friday on ABC. Yeah.
Mom's going to get burned at the stake.
Laugh track.
I knew exactly where you were.
I wonder if something like that would actually work to a certain extent. You know, there's a million channels now and million networks, streaming services. What if this family went, and it's kind of like Quantum Leap to a certain extent, but what if this comedy family took trips back to all these things?
You can make it with AI now.
Yeah.
You guys, that's not too far off from
the
concept of Larry David's new show.
Oh, that is pretty good.
On HBO.
Is it good?
I haven't seen a full episode yet, but
Larry David's kind of an acquired taste. I think it's funny, and he goes back to different points in history.
Yeah.
And kind of like he sits on the bus next to Rosa Parks and annoys her so bad she goes to the back of the bus. Like, it's that sort of thing.
I find that funny.
The thing. It's Larry David. And so some people are going to like it. I get why some people won't.
Well, basically, if you like Curb Your Enthusiasm, you'll like that, I'm assuming.
Very much. Yes. So it is kind of that concept.
Yeah, but I got
to
watch
it. It's not like they're going back to where Dad's going to die.
No. That would be a fun one. I think that would be, if I had another hour or 12 in a day, I think that would be a fun one to work on. The phone number is 855-853-4802. If you want to share your real ghost stories with us, let's hear one more call today on the program.
My name is Kate and I'm in Utah. So here's my story. I have a lot of stories, so I might call back many times, but this one brings a lot of tears and joy and sorrow, but love in my place. In my mid 20s, I had a really great relationship with my Grandma Jo. And we used to go to see movies. We used to gossip. I talked to her on the phone every other day. I saw her every week. And it was really nice. But the backstory is that it was my mom's mom that I wouldn't want to be in her shape, being like someone taking care of me, because that grandma was in and out of the hospital having really serious problems. So, and she's like, yeah, I never want to get that old and somebody to take care of me. I'm like, grandma, you're going to be fine. And so my mom's mom was going to get out of the hospital over Labor Day. And we're going to have a big family party to celebrate her. And I get a knock at my apartment door, and it's my older brother. And he's like, can I come in? I'm like, hey, what's up? He's like, there's something I need to tell you. I'm like, what? And he's like, Grandma Jo died. And I'm like, what? No, you're lying. I couldn't believe it, because during that weekend, I kept on trying to call her, but something in the back of my brain told me not to do it. Like, I would pick up the phone. I'm like, oh, I have to see how she's doing. But I always changed my mind the very last minute. And my phone never rang or anything like that. But I'm like, I still felt like I needed to call her. And he's like, yeah, I found her in her bed. She was asleep in her bed. And I started crying. I still cry when I talk about her. I miss her tons. And I had one last goodbye with her and told her I loved her and everything, but I still felt like I didn't have a last goodbye with her. And so, like a couple of days after she died, I went to bed and I'm dreaming and I see her and she's sitting on my dad's couch. And I'm like, Grandma, oh my God, I miss you. Where have you been? She's like, I'm gone now, but I miss you too. Sorry. I told you I was really close to her. And she's like, I'll be always here with you. I'll always be in your dreams. And every once in a while, I used to have dreams about her all the time for the first couple of years after she died. Now, since it's 8 years later, become like once a month if I'm lucky. So I'm wondering, did I really interact with her spirit or anything? Because it would be really wonderful if she is. I hope you give me an idea. And also, one of the things with my dreams, I dream about people who are about to pass on and stuff. And there's a party with people who've already died. And the person who's about to pass on is at joins the party. That happened right before my grandpa died, my other grandma.
like my uncle. So I'm just wondering about if I'm in tune with the spirit world or not, but thanks for listening to me, and I'm sorry my throat is long, but it'd be nice to hear an opinion. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that that story with us. I think dreams can often, yeah, certainly mean something, and they may be the connection. At the end of the day, is it serving the purpose, whether it's your grandma doing it or you're the universe helping you have these memories or these connections? I don't know. I would imagine it. If there's a chance for her to be doing that, she's probably doing that.
Yeah, I mean, if we believe that spirits and ghosts and energies can play around with a radio for a spirit box or a novelist or whatever, why couldn't they come through our dreams?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. I'm wondering if that's like the more easy way to come across to us versus these physical objects.
I've always thought that because you're in this different, totally different state, all of the things that, you know, the barriers you have up throughout the day because you're busy, you're working, you're a million miles away, it would be harder to get through to someone. In a dream state, doesn't seem like it would be that hard.
No.
To visit someone. You know, I just think it's...
I think that'd be more the wavelength you're on. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've always believed in them, and I've had some, and I just have, they just felt different. And like, it was a more profound connection other than just, I had this weird dream last night. It felt like I experienced, you know, I talked to them. Now her last point where she sees people in her dreams before they die, I would not want that.
No.
I do not want to know.
That would not be a gift I would be happy with.
I would not like that at all. Because then if you have one of those dreams and it's like, shit, I can't make eye contact with this person. I couldn't. That would be a horrible thing to have.
I wouldn't want to have that person as a friend anymore either. Because
I don't want to, right?
I don't want to get the call one day. I had a dream like, shut the fuck up, you know? And then you have all your fuck, don't tell me. Or you'd have to just be like, look, if you have a dream, I don't want to hear about it. Like, you know, just about me, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Right. You know, I wouldn't want to know.
You know, unless it's something I can prevent or something, you know, but even, I don't know. I would just be, I don't know. I don't want to know, but, you know. Anyway, it's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to the bonus episodes, the advanced episodes, and more, check us out on Patreon or Apple Podcasts and the premium options there for you to get in all that and listen to the show with no ads. All right, until next time. After you press subscribe, we will say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, press it. There we go. Thank you. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.